Amen. How many people are glad they're here and not in the hospital? Amen. All right. Well, with that joyful spirit, open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And as you're turning, I have a few housekeeping items we need to take care of. Phil kind of mentioned one of them for us. So next week, the church is gathering together, first and second service. And that also means a little adjustment in Sunday school hour. I want everybody to know that. So Sunday school will start at 9, not 9:15, and church is at 10:15. So if you're planning on being here at 8 o'clock, you just come on and pray the whole hour. And we'll give you the whole auditorium to do that. But service is at 10:15. Sunday school is at 9 a.m. So I also want to let you know as well, today, believe it or not, and it's almost as good as having an IC. We have a business meeting. I didn't get as many amens from most of you from that one. But it is very short, just some really good things we want to share, obviously, with God's blessing and things. But anyway, following the service, and they don't, I've been assured this is a short one. Saying that on record there. Of course, you have to define short, you know, but anyway, it shouldn't be long, but we hope you'll be able to stay and join us in what God's doing here. That's following. So right after the amens here in the service, then, those of you with children, if you will go ahead and gather them up quickly, because I was told that if you don't, they're going to feed them cappuccinos and give them puppies for you to take home. So you want to get there quick so that doesn't happen. I read that in a dentist's office somewhere, I think. I don't know. But anyway, so that's what's happening here. Do you have your Bibles then, or your iPads, or your phones, or maybe you've memorized the entire Bible? That's good if you've done that. But anyway, this is my announcement, so we're going to... Oh, no, one more thing. I'm glad I had this slide. That's why I use them sometimes. This fall... In the Sunday school, the adult Sunday school classes, we are going to be beginning a study in First, and I believe Second Thessalonians, the letters. And so because of that, I'm going to be highlighting only a few more times some things in Thessalonians and passing the baton off to them, and I'll be dealing with a different series here in a few weeks. So just wanted you guys to know that so you can plan. I hope your interest has been stirred up a little bit here with just, we're not even out of the first chapter. There's a lot in Thessalonians, a lot of great stuff. Plan on coming and being part of the Sunday School Hour. You'll be blessed, and there'll be opportunities for interaction and Q&A and all that. So that's coming this fall in our Sunday school class. Now, with all of that, the title of my message is Show and Tell. Show and Tell. How many of you have ever been involved in a show and tell in school before? Can I see some hands? All right. So you know what that's all about. And so there's been a lot of strange things that have happened in show and tell over the years. And some teachers have emailed things in concerning some of the strange things they've had. Now, none of these are from people that I know. I got and researched this, but there's some interesting items. So one student brought in an avocado. I don't know. I wasn't in there. There must have been a story as to why that was so important and special to them. And I don't know if you've ever seen that in your show until in your classrooms. The next one, however, was a little more interesting. Now, this particular family owned some kind of I don't know if it was a grocery store or something, but some kind of shop. And the child got this. They must raise these particular things and thought it would be so cool. But he concealed it so it'd be a surprise. And when he opened up the box, this is what came out. Yeah! Show and scream is what that turned into, probably. But show and tell, that's interesting. Now, this next one has a story behind it as well. That's a hand grenade. This came from a military school. I don't know which one, but somewhere in the States here, some teacher said, yeah, a student brought in a hand grenade. Problem was, they had pulled the pin when they brought it in. So that created a complete emergency situation. They had to get all the students out of the building. They had to bring in the bomb squad. It was the best show and tell ever, probably. You know, it may have been a World War II hand grenade, but you never know. Some of those things can go off. And so that was an interesting show and tell. This one is kind of comical. So this teacher said, why would they show gloves? Well, this little boy came in and said, these are the gloves my daddy has me put on when we break in people's homes. There it is. They caught the guy, they were having some crime in an area, and that was one of the ways they solved it, apparently. It was a good show and tell. Teachers, keep it up, you know. You're helping with the police issues they have. So that was kind of crazy. Of course, I'm talking about something else. Of course I am. The show and tell we're talking about is our very spiritual nature of Christ in us, showing and telling. So that word, that phrase is going to be used over and over and over again. And I actually do want to kind of irritate you with it a little bit. So as you walk out of here, I want you to say, I don't want to hear the phrase show and tell one more time. I got you. It's in your head. So anyway, it really is a biblical principle that comes out of our text today. And our big idea before we get into our reading is that Paul was so thankful. He was so very thankful for these Thessalonians believers for several reasons. He was thankful, of course, that they had received this gospel, but they received it with a joyful spirit. And the result of that joyful spirit was that they were sharing and living this gospel throughout the community, and it got to be well known all over the area. In fact, they heard about it from other people, not from the Thessalonians' own mouth. So that was Big's idea. And Paul basically saying, I'm going to tell you why I know that God has really come in and transformed your life. And you too can know this in your own life and in the lives of others. There are three big things that happen as Christ comes into a person's life. Now, it takes time sometimes, but these are the things that happen. These assurances, evidences, you could even use that word, that Christ is in your life and that you are a genuine believer and you're just not a pretender. And so this comes from our text. I kind of want to read that now. Okay, there we go, beginning in verse 5. It says this, because the gospel came, well, let's back up to 4. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he's chosen you. So there's their salvation. Well, how does he know this? Because, verse 5, our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers, Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. Father, I pray as we get into your word now that you will just open our hearts and minds to be able to understand it and also be encouraged and excited by how we as believers can have this same joy of the Lord that will just be transformational on those we come across. In Jesus' name, amen. So three evidences Paul sees in their life that's a big deal and that can help you and I to understand, you know, am I truly connected to the Lord and others as well as we look into their lives? The first one is right up front, this idea they heard. He talks about it right up front in verse 5, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. So what we have here is we have this idea of a specific content that came to them. You can imagine Paul, as we do today, has the same or had the same struggles that we face today. Soon as this gospel gets out, as soon as this new, called the way even in Acts, right? We didn't have a name, Christian, so far. That came along a little bit later. But we have this, the way, and what happens? Immediately, what's going on is now we've got shoots of it. We got people that are adding to it, subtracting from it. And I don't know how many of you have read your New Testament. Paul basically deals with all of those crazy things in all these letters. So Paul already is dealing with this whole concept of a different content and a different message that comes to people even in his day. So Paul is using this word. How do we know what it was? Well, that's kind of cool in this passage because I believe he's referring obviously to Acts 17. You don't have to turn. I'm just going to read two verses from there. It was kind of his message to them. And it says this. He says, look, it says, Paul reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I proclaim to you is the Christ. So Paul had a very rifle shot specific content message about what the gospel truly is. I call that good advertisement, right? But what we have today among churches, that's a big paragraph, parentheses there, right? Is a lot of false advertising going on. What do I mean? Well, it's the same as with Paul. Adding, subtracting, making it something that it never was supposed to be. Now, sometimes advertisement, I don't know if you've ever come across false advertisement, anybody? What I mean by that, they claim something to be a certain way, and then you find out later it wasn't necessarily true. This actually happened, unfortunately, to Joe Montana, great quarterback from Notre Dame. You might know him from San Francisco 49ers. Won, I don't know how many Super Bowls, but anyway, great quarterback, great guy. But he was a part, I believe it was he and his wife that advertised Skechers for a while. Remember the shoes? They're still being sold. They're fine shoes and all, but the claim was if you wore the Skechers, that it would, there's designed in such a way that you would actually use your muscles more and lose more weight. Yes. A lot of people in America bought it. And they went out and bought Skechers. Well, the government gets involved. This is the one time I think the government could do a good thing. Not maybe just the one time, but one time. And they said, wait, where's the science behind any of this? And so they can challenge them. There was no proof at all. In fact, the idea was, if you go out and walk, you're going to... I don't think it has anything to do with Skechers, so to speak. That's false advertisement. There's been a lot of crazy false advertisement in the life of America. I just think in my own life, growing up, you watch on TV, it was the Marlboro Man. To be a real man, you got to smoke Marlboros. Well, unfortunately, those Marlboros, cigarettes that pretty much put the Marlboro Man out of commission. False advertising. They weren't good for you. They were bad for you. There's another one here. I think it was Snapchat. I want to get this right. They claim that their apps at the beginning, they claim that the messages on their apps would disappear after use. But someone proved them wrong. And they had to pull that quickly because people were thinking, I can say anything and I can send any photo I want. And as soon as I click out of it, the message disappears. Well, what was happening? Third parties were getting on there and pulling down those pictures and pulling down those messages. And there was all kinds of trouble, as you can imagine. False advertising. Now, we see that and we get upset with that stuff, people trying to take advantage of others. Think about it in a spiritual way. Think about what Paul's facing here. He's being very specific. He says, look, it's not Jesus plus keeping the law that brings one to God. The law only shows us how much we need grace. It doesn't bring us to God. It just says, boy, you're in trouble. You need somebody to help you. But there were people that were trying to say, yes, go ahead, pray to Jesus, ask Jesus to save you, and by the way, you also have to keep the law in order for you to be saved. Well, we just change it now. We repackage it now. We call it works. We have to both trust and work. They even could take the song that was meant for something completely different, trust and obey, for there's no other way. They would say not to be happy. They would say to be with God. And that would be false. It is only by grace through faith in Christ alone that a person is saved. And so we have Paul making that very clear. In fact, he said, this Jesus whom I proclaim to you is the Christ. What's he saying? It's two things, well, at least two things. One, Jesus is the Christ. What's that? He's Messiah. He's the anointed one. He's been set apart by God. He is God in the flesh. He's not just a man. We don't just trust in a man. We trust in the Son of Man, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. He also said something else that doesn't get preached a lot often in many even churches today, even in our circles. Part of the gospel message is that Christ had to suffer. He died on the cross for your sins and mine. That's part of the message. And if you ever hear someone sharing Jesus with someone and they never get to the cross, that's a false advertisement. You got to know why. Why did Jesus go to the cross? Why was it necessary for him to die? Why couldn't I just earn my own way? And there it is. That's the open door, because you and I are dead. We talked about that last week. Dead, completely unable to do anything about our condition. Someone outside of us had to do it. And God did that for us through Jesus. So are you and I, in our testifying, making it very clear the content of the gospel? It is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone that saves. That's it. We could talk about a lot of other spiritual things after that, but that's what brings us to God. And it goes through the cross. It goes through the cross. So he was confident, and the reason he was, you know why he was so confident? Because he did it. I mean, we send out our missionaries, and we are confident in Phil and Alana, and we're confident in the teach-outs. But can you imagine, are you confident with everybody who claims to be a Christian that they're giving the message correctly? I remember, and many of you probably had folks come to your door, the knock on the door. They want to talk to you about spiritual things. I'm not going to name the organization. You know what I'm talking about. And so they open their Bible, and boy, I just start to smile and go, this is going to be fun. And so, they start quoting Greek and everything. I say, just a minute, I'm going to get my Greek Bible. And you can hear a gasp. And I say, well, let's talk about John 1. Let's talk about this phrase. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And what did you say? You said the Word was a God? Have you ever heard that from them before? That's what they'll say. And you could go, whoa, 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 whoa. Look at that. What's right here? I said, it's not here. There's no article there. In the beginning was, he was God. It wasn't a God. There's nothing there at all in the text. You guys are giving out a false gospel. Jesus Christ isn't just, a nice guy. And yes, he provided for you, but he is God himself. And so salvation can only come through him and not through the church. By the way, I am so glad the gospel and salvation doesn't come through Bible Baptist Church. I thought I'd get a much bigger amen than that. It comes through the Father, through the Son. So that Paul was very excited about that, because he's the one that gave the message. He made it clear. And you and I need to make that clear when we give the message too. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Can you remember that next time God gives you that opportunity? That is the gospel. But there was a second reason that he was confident that they were saved. It wasn't just because they got the right message. They got the good advertisement. He was confident because they had received it. Did you see it there in the verse? He says, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. So it wasn't enough that they heard the word. That's great. They heard the word, but you're not saved because you hear the word. If that's the case, all of us today, right now, we can save this entire county. I'm going to put big speakers on your top of your cars, and you're going to simply preach out loud all over this county, every street. We could cover them all, can't we? But that's not how it happens. That's part of it. It's an important part. They received it. It wasn't just like, oh yeah, okay. No, it was something that they believed and they were trusting in. It's sort of like you drowning out in the ocean here, and I'm throwing you a rope in the water, and you believe that rope can keep you from going under, and it's right there in front of you. But there's something you must do. You must grab the rope. That's receiving. That's trusting. You're making a choice to grab onto that thing. And so that's what we have here. Paul is so excited about it. They had heard it and they had trusted in it. And what was really extra special that made it was because they received it with much affliction. That's important. How many people love Jesus and love Christianity as long as it goes well for them? Right? But when things go upside down and pain and suffering happen, some leave. I'm encouraged by Job. He's called a righteous man in the Bible. He wasn't a perfect man, just read the book. But it's interesting that Job, he was struck down horrible things. I'm not sure anything's happened here, it's happened to him. And his wife had had enough. I don't know how long it was. This is early in the book, so we're given this guy the idea that she had just had enough. Why don't you just get rid of all that stuff you're trusting and believing in? Just curse God and just be done with it. I've had it. Now, if we're honest, I think all of us have felt that way in our lives before. There's high points and low points. And there's different reasons as to why. So we understand it. I'm not going to throw a dart at Mrs. Job. But Job responded this way. He says this, "You speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God and shall we not receive evil?" Whoa. You see, his faith was not connected to how good Christianity worked for you. Oh, it worked for me really good, so I'm going to trust in Jesus. But as soon as it goes south, man, I'm going to go to this religion because they say it's going to really work really, really good for me if I trust in them. And Paul's excited because he says, you know what? These folks weren't manipulated by that. Their decision wasn't based on whether things went well. In fact, early on when they were first Christians, they were bombarded with persecution and they never quit trusting God. That's how Paul knew it was an evidence. It said, man, something has got in there and it's stuck. And they're not letting go of it. They had even the word joy. How many of you have so much joy when you're going through all those horrible things? Sometimes we can, even though we're in pain. And those things don't always seem to happen. I like what James puts it this way. Count it all what? Joy. Count it joy when, brothers, when you meet trials of all kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. Joy is just an evidence that Christ is in you and me. There's a story of Dr. Kennedy and his evangelism training that I love to tell whenever I can. This is a good time to tell it. So Dr. Kennedy was, he's known for developing an evangelism program on how to witness to people worldwide. So he was in India, and he was going through some leprosy camps. And this particular one, many of these folks had trusted in Jesus Christ, and their conditions were really bad. And he was going around talking and meeting and them because he had been there speaking. He said he got back in this back part of the room, and there was this man laying on the cot. His legs were eaten up. His hands were gone. His face was just distorted so much. Leprosy had just eaten up so much of him. But when he saw Dr. Kennedy and he heard his voice, with all he could, Dr. Kennedy said he got up on one elbow and just leaned himself on that bed. And with just a stump of an arm, he pointed to heaven and was just making noise. Dr. Kennedy, in silent tears for a man with all the reason to curse God and die, gave praise to God and was joyful about it. I'm not saying that you and I are going to be happy in our trials. Isn't that a foolish thing to say? Who in the world likes that? And I'm also not saying that it won't hurt. I'm not saying that many of us aren't carrying some of that pain. I bet there's many here, if not everybody, carrying something. But as a believer, inside of all of that, This is the great part. God gives us the joy of his promises, the joy of the hope that this isn't the end, that God has the last and final word. I know it's going to work out for you. I've had some people I've prayed for five months for, and they haven't come to Christ. And I've had some that I've been praying 5 years for, and some have and some haven't. I've got some that I'm praying 45 years for. We're on 45, but I'm not going to give it up. And I think that's what was exciting for Paul. They had only been Christians a short time, but they were getting shot at big time, and they didn't give it up. I'm sure it hurt, but it was an evidence. And so he loved it. They heard the right gospel. They received this gospel. We see this in the evidence of how it transformed them from just being people with nothing to say and nothing to do to being out there no matter what. But the third thing that really comes out, and we can camp here just for a few minutes, is that Paul was confident in their salvation because they lived it. Did you catch that there? I love it in verse 7. So that with all this that has already transpired, you became an example to all the believers. And because of that, he goes on to say that we didn't have to need to say anything. We're getting reports from other people. Did you? I don't know what's going on over there in Thessalonica, but something's happening. And I'll tell you, I saw and I heard this fella say something, or this lady say something, and it's amazing. You got to hear the story. You just got to hear it. So they're getting testimony from outside people of the example that they're living. It's interesting that word example is the Greek word tupon or tupos. It sounds familiar to an English word. It's the word we get typewriter from. What happens when you put a blank sheet of paper? Does anyone know what a typewriter is, by the way? I'm sorry. Okay. I guess I should ask. Okay. An old-time word processor. How's that? My mom had the kind where you had to push the thing down like 2 inches in the rip. Never mind. All right. So what happens when you hit or strike the key, if you ever did that? It imprinted on the paper. You put enough of the words spelled correctly in the right order, and you get a message, don't you? Yeah, you do. That's exactly the word used here. You were a type or a Xerox copy of Jesus Christ at the level you were at in your maturity to the people around you. And so much so that I don't even have to say anything to some people. They've already heard the message. And he's saying, man, that excites me. Man, that tells me that Jesus really is transforming you, because not just by what you say, but by how you're living. It's the living that gets the type word. Interesting. Your example. It's the words that they speak, yes. But it's backing it up with how they live. There was a gentleman in our church, this had to be 10 or 12 years ago now. He was, according to his own testimony, now I'm not making this is his testimony, he was a rascal at work. Nobody liked him too much. And Pastor Bill led him to faith in Jesus Christ. And he became a different man. In fact, so much that people at work were like, who are you? You're not mean. You're not cussing and swearing. I'm not scared to death of you anymore. And all these things. And guess what it opened the door for? Witness. What happened to you? That's what Paul's saying. Their life, every day, if I can make a typewriter sound, was this. But the words that were coming out was an example of Christ. It wasn't a mixed message, in other words. I've done too many of those in my own life, maybe you have, where you said something, but then your behavior didn't always back it up. We get in trouble at home with that, don't we? So we're all there. So he's not calling them perfect, but he's saying, man, where you're at now, that's right, you got it. We need to live what we're saying, or we need to stop saying it. We need to have a clear, concise message. And so he was so excited that they were being transformed. When the, you know, people have different tattoos all over their body. And when they first came out, this was years ago. I remember seeing as a boy a guy with a tattoo. Of course, that was different for me. But a lot of guys from the service, from the war, they came back and that's what they had. And some of them weren't necessarily good tattoos. So in a Christian world, it kind of got a bad rap. But I think now it's an opportunity because now I can look at it and I'll say, well, that's an interesting tattoo. Would you tell me the story as to what that's about? It might have a name or it might have something on there. And I say, tell me about that. That must be special to you. And it's an opportunity. And I'm thinking, that ought to be us. When we go out, we are tattooed all over with Jesus. Every time we talk to somebody, every time we act and interact, especially in struggling situations, is the best time to type a good message. And so Paul was excited about that, which brings us basically to this whole idea of the show and the tell. Now, I was pretty good to you. I'm pretty much done here. And I don't think I said it too many times, so I'm going to say it 10 in a row right now. I'm going to do it. Show and tell. There's our life lessons as we move out of here this morning. Show. 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 What do I need? What do I mean by that? Here's the point. Transformation is transparent. Transformation's transparent. Now, all of us can hide stuff and fool people, but I'm telling you, when Jesus truly comes into your life and makes it different, that's transparent. You can't hide it. You cannot hide it. I've told you about my uncle. He was mean as a snake. His own brothers didn't even want to see him. And then God graced him with salvation. And now my uncle's, I don't know how old he is, he's got to be 80s, 90s, something like that. And from the day he was saved till today, he spends his life sharing Jesus with whoever will listen. It's transformational. We actually like being around him. He's a good guy. He's a great guy. That's what happens. So who are you? Who am I? Really? Our actions will show. Show, then. Show. But the second one is tell. It's show and tell, right? It's show and tell. It's both. We need to be telling. That's the point. Sometimes we drop the ball. We love the show part. I think a lot of people love the showing. Well, I'm going to be honest and man of integrity. I'm going to be good and all that. But what message did they get? They got that you're a good, honest man of integrity. But did they get the gospel? Well, they got part of it. But they didn't understand what had make the connection with God in any way. So what do you have to do? You have to tell. We need to tell the content. We need to tell exactly that Christ died for their sins according to the scripture and that he was buried and raised the third day according to the scriptures. And if they will just trust in him, they can receive eternal life, forgiveness of sins. Someone said, actions speak louder than words, but I'm going to give you a new one. Are you ready? This is better. Actions with words speaks loudest of all. The two go together. So the question is simply this. What are you and I showing? And what are you and I telling? Do you know Jesus Christ or just the name? You might be here today and don't have a relationship with him. The message is so simple and clear. I hope you've caught it. Because of sin, we're separated from God. There's nothing we bring or could do that can bring us to God. But Christ died for that, paid the penalty. God sent him because he loved us. He knew that we needed it because our sin is so horrible and he's so holy. We could never get those two together. Christ made a way. Christ made a bridge. He died on the cross and suffered and bled and died for your sins and my sins. So that through him, trusting, we can have eternal life. If you haven't done that today, you need to do that now. Because the only thing God's going to accept in heaven is his son. Will you trust him? How about you, believer? You say, well, I'm already trusted in Jesus? Well, that question's for you and me. It would be simply this. What message are we giving? What kind of show and tell are we bringing to this world? Would you pray with me, please? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe this morning you want to trust Christ. You can do that right where you're at. The words will never save you, but your faith in Christ will. Church will never save you. Joining a church will definitely never save you. Doing great things will never save you. Those are all wonderful things, but they're not salvation. Salvation is a free gift from God through Christ and Him alone. Will you simply just say, Father, I admit and recognize my sin has separated me from you. And I believe the word of God that Jesus came from heaven to earth to pay the penalty for my sin. He suffered and died. And I'm trusting in Him right now, Him alone, to save my soul. Jesus, save me. My friend, if you prayed that from your heart, welcome to the family of God. So for you, church, our calling is now to show and tell. Lord, help us to take the grace that was given to us freely and freely give it to others. For Jesus' sake, amen.